The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, it's time to fill out the official BS Report March Madness bracket. We're going to have my buddy Joe House is going to come on. He watches more college hoops than anybody I know, probably a little too much. But before we get to him, they did ask me to mention my Red Sox book, which comes out next week as a third edition. So it's the book you already read, if you read it, or you may not have read it, but nine new chapters from the last 4 years and footnotes for it. If you didn't read my book the first time around, it basically has every Red Sox column that I wrote since 1998, and including stuff that's not on the website, stuff from my old website, with footnotes for everything. There's a giant afterword that I wrote after the 04 season, and then nine new chapters from the last four seasons. So now we're looking at, I think there's like something like 60, 65 chapters from 1998 to 2008. And again, if you haven't read the book, there's some stuff that you may not realize is in there, including a running diary of my friend Rob Stone's wedding in 1999. You get to find out about the original sports gal. It was two sports gals, little known fact. A lot of Pedro stuff, a lot of Nomar stuff. The original is Roger the Antichrist column, which is really funny to read in retrospect, because now it turns out that the reason he had the big resurgence in Toronto had nothing to do with him just having the eye of the tiger. It actually had more to do with other stuff that, you know, we didn't fully realize at the time. It also includes my running diary of ESPN's show about the Manny signing, which is probably my favorite chapter in the book in retrospect. There's a Rich Garces chapter called Come Feel the Guapo. There's a chapter that's kind of funny to read in retrospect about the Red Sox owners, in that I wrote before the 2000 season about what we'd want from the new Red Sox owners. And as it turned out, the new owners did a lot of the things that I was hoping for. There's a whole column about how upset I was, or how upset everybody was, when the Red Sox didn't get A-Rod, which is kind of funny to read in retrospect. Then it goes through all the 2004, all the stuff that happened down the stretch, the playoffs, the big comeback, and everything else. So the only reason I did this, I didn't sign a contract for it. I think I mentioned this before, but, it's an ongoing story. It's a story that has evolved. The team has evolved. They've evolved nationally. The fans, the experience with their team has evolved, and I just thought it was interesting that it's something that keeps going. So, screw it. I'm going to re-release it every 4 years like the Bible. And there you go. So it's Now I Can Die at Peace, and it's on Amazon.com. It's like $10, something like that, $10.80. And if you didn't read it the first time around, check it out now. Thank you. If you checked ESPN.com today, President Barack Obama filled out a bracket for us. In my opinion, he's not even the biggest celebrity in the podcast today, because we have Joe House. He is on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Joe, what's happening?
What is happening? I'm pretty sure Obama is a bigger celebrity than me.
It's toss-up. Does he have a Facebook group? You have a Facebook group with like 800 people in it.
That is pretty impressive.
Including your wife. I love the fact that your wife joined your Facebook group.
Oh, that's terrible. We're going to change that.
That might have happened after about five glasses of wine. Let's talk about the tournament.
Yeah, so with the president submitting a bracket sheet, I guess we have at least one goal. We have two goals. The first goal has to be to beat Obama, right?
Yeah, we don't just want to beat Obama. We want to beat it to the point that the Secret Service has to send us threatening emails and say, don't ever do that again.
If you're going to submit your resume to be the sports czar,
yeah,
you got to kick his butt. Now, one thing, I looked at the bracket that makes this a little easy. I mean, dude went chalk. He picked like two upsets in the whole tournament.
Well, maybe that's how he became the president, by not taking a lot of chances.
Could be. Could be.
I agree with you. I thought that was kind of a wuss move. I want my president to roll the dice with some chances.
That's the way I feel. The only other goal I have for this, and it's specifically for this podcast, I'd like this podcast to be every bit as exciting as the World Baseball Classic. That's my goal. That's my commitment to you.
Should we really be jumping on each other that we beat Puerto Rico?
We beat Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico is the size of, like, Pennsylvania.
They have a lot of good baseball players, though.
I know, but come on. I'm going to have to give Team USA a settle down.
Yeah.
The entire team. The entire team gets a settle down for me after their performance.
Yeah. I agree. Settle down.
I'm fine with jumping on each other and all that, but don't give me the pig pile.
I mean, it's March.
Well, that's what I said to my friend Gus, giant Mets fan. I was like, it's an exhibition game when David Wright gets the game-winning hit. He didn't think that was funny. I don't know why.
You know, what would have been funny is if one of those guys, well, you know, I'm not rooting for any injuries, but if one of those guys got hurt in the pig pile in the World Baseball
Classic. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
I'll tell you this much. If, like, Yukos had gotten hurt or something, that would have been, I would have been furious.
Right. Think about that.
I don't like the fact that Euclid and Jeter and Pedroia were, like, being all buddy-buddy. That kind of bugs me. I want these guys to not like each other.
Once the season starts, it comes around.
I hope so. I hope when the season starts that Euclid and Pedroia tell the pitchers to throw a Jeter like we always do.
But, yeah, and there you go.
Let's talk about the tournament.
Let's.
And by the way, I think if W had filled out a bracket for us, President W.
Yeah.
I think he would have taken a lot of chances and potentially had like 10 and 11 seeds going to the Final Four. So
wow.
It's really a shame we never asked him.
Who never
asked? I mean, he was a reckless president, so I think his bracket would have been just as reckless. Now I'm going to get emails. Hey, man, keep the politics off your podcast, man. I just want to enjoy it. Screw you. He's a bad president. Okay. Let's go to the Midwest first.
Okay.
What do you think of that? That's
like
Louisville is the number one seed for
right.
that bracket.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go through each thing. You can play along with us. Joe Mead, you're going to be keeping a BS Report bracket that we'll put online that hopefully will be more prominently featured than the one from the president, or at least as prominently, or not prominently. Anyway, Louisville is playing the 16 seed, so we're going to take Louisville there, right?
Yes.
Ohio State, Siena. This is a tough one for me because Holy Cross played Siena when we were in college. We had some good games against them, but Ohio State has my Club Trillion blogger on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think.
The Club Trillion thing tips it for me.
I agree.
Ohio State.
Okay. Number 5, Utah against number 12, Arizona.
So I have an opinion on this.
Okay.
I like Arizona.
I kind of do too. I thought 12 seed was a little ludicrous for them.
I feel the same way. I mean, it's the right kind of place for them because of you know, the sort of bubble element of how they made it into the field. So, you know, the fact that they were on the bubble and they had some stumbles along the way in the last dozen games or so.
And they have a couple pro prospects, right?
Arizona, sure.
Yeah, yes, Buttinger's a pro prospect.
Yeah, that's right.
And somebody else on that team is, I can't remember. I'd also like to pick Arizona to punish the people of Utah who continue to think that Darren Williams is better than Chris Paul. I think we take Arizona just to spite them.
That's one of your favorite tricks, is to bait the people of Utah.
They're very easy to bait.
Yeah.
Yeah, all you need is like a little tiny worm and a fishing pole and you reel them in. It's kind of fun. I will get killed by somebody from Utah. If I ever get murdered by a reader, it will be by somebody from either Utah or Oklahoma City. It's a guaranteed lock it down. This is a good one. I wish Cleveland State wasn't playing Wake Forest, because Wake Forest is one of the teams that, as I've done my research, seems like a logical Final Four sleeper candidate.
Yeah, I hear you on that, and I feel the same way. I wish Cleveland State wasn't playing Wake. The only thing about Wake is I watch them. You know, I get my fair dose of Big East and ACC basketball here on the East Coast. So I got to see Wake quite a bit. And back around Christmas time, I thought Wake was the best team in the country. I mean, they were a 7-deep squad with a lot of athleticism. That Jeff Teague kid looked fantastic. And somewhere along the way, they kind of got derailed. I mean, they were lackluster against Maryland in the ACC tournament. And I don't
we should mention that you're a lifelong Maryland fan and you watch an inordinate amount of college basketball, specifically ACC.
Specifically ACC, but I also get quite a bit of Big East because of Georgetown being local here too.
Yeah. Well, where does the fact that Wake Forest's coach is named Dino, where does that factor in your rankings?
Well, that actually is almost kind of the reason why I'm least convinced about Wake Forest.
Because they have a coach named Dino?
Well, he's not just a named Dino, but he's a first year.
Yeah.
This is his first, you know, head coaching in the Big Show experience.
Could be a little deer in the headlights, maybe?
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Now, I'm not going to pick Cleveland State.
I'm going to go through my five favorite Dinos right now. in no particular order. Dino Flintstone.
Uh-huh.
Dino Bravo. Was he a wrestler? Was that the guy's name?
Wrestler.
There was a wrestler in the 80s name. I think Dino Bravo.
Positive, that's right.
The guy in 8mm, the snuff film producer who Nick Cage brought down, Dino Velvet.
Oh, my.
I'm going to put him on there. And then there was one more Dino. Damn it. Joe Mead, help? Anything?
No. You want
Dino Raja.
Yeah.
Dino Raja.
That's the one.
It was. I blanked.
Of course that's the one.
So now we have our fifth Dino. Now the Mount Rushmore of Dinos has now become much more complicated if Wake Forest makes a Final Four run. Very excited to have a Dino in the tournament, though.
I don't think you have to worry about the Final Four run until next year.
Well, I'm going to say this, though. If you go to our friend Jonathan... What's his name, Joe Mead? Jonathan Givney? the Draft Express guy. How do you say his last name?
The Draft Express guy.
Jonathan Givney. I mean, it's a bad... When you have a bad name to pronounce and you have me trying to pronounce it, that's just a recipe for disaster. Well, anyway, draftexpress.com. So this guy, you know, he, like, travels to Europe. He does the whole thing. And he's got three Wake Forest guys in his top 16. That's pretty good.
Jeff
Teague at number 8.
Yeah.
The guy with the crazy name at number 10, El Farouk Aminu.
Yes, Aminu.
And then James Johnson at 16. So you and I go through this every year. We always like to look at the teams that potentially have three or four first-round picks because it's not rocket science. If you have guys who are going to play in the NBA, the odds are that his college team might be pretty good.
Yeah.
And three top 16 number ones, to me, tells me, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with Draft Express on that. Because especially with Teague, that sounds awfully high to me for Teague. He's got tons of talent, but I watched him sleepwalk through games, and that's always a red flag with me.
But they, I mean, he's got Brandon Jennings at number 5, which makes me nervous.
Okay.
maybe not the most reliable rankings, but on the other hand, this guy studies it a lot more than we do. And he talks to scouts, he talks to GMs.
No doubt.
He's a reputable source.
Okay.
James Harden at number 2. I mean, maybe just the draft's that bad. Maybe if you're number 16 in this draft, you're number 30.
So who's number 1? Is Blake Griffin number 1?
He's got Griffin, James Harden.
Why would you say James Harden over Thabeet?
Jordan Hill, Thabeet's 4.
Yeah, I mean.
Brandon Jennings, Gerald Henderson is 6. Willie Warren from Oklahoma, 7.
It's a thin draft.
Stephen Curry, 9. That seems low.
Well, but that you and I talked about this a little bit. That's going to be a team with a specific need that he'll go to. So that's not a crazy number.
The one I totally disagree with is Johnny Flynn at 20. I think he's much better than that.
I agree with that.
He is a lottery pick.
There aren't, in terms of caliber, they're not 12 spots away, Johnny Flynn and Jeff Teague.
Very true.
Both of whom I've seen.
Yes, I
agree.
You
know what I mean?
All right. So then we have West Virginia at Dayton. I have no opinion.
I like West Virginia because I like the fact that they beat Pittsburgh in the Big East tournament. I thought that was an impressive performance by them.
Bob Huggins, though, he's usually good for one round and out.
Nah, this is a different deal.
22 and 16 in his 16 appearances. That's not very good.
It's a winning record.
Yeah, but that basically means he wins one round and then loses. Right?
I don't know. I like West Virginia.
All right. Last one. Kansas playing against the team that is just poised to become America's sweetheart, North Dakota State.
Yeah, you know, I'll pick
Stranger things have happened.
I'll pick North Dakota State if you do.
I mean, right now we only have Arizona at number 12 in here. Well, the thing with Kansas, do we think West Virginia can beat Kansas the next round?
Yes.
Okay, then let's take North Dakota State. Screw it.
Okay. Yeah,
I want to root for it.
I mean, I'm embarrassed, obviously, because Kansas won the national title last year, and they have two guys from that team. But I don't care.
They have two guys from that team, but it's not really two of the – I mean, Collins is, I guess, one that, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody else kind of left, basically.
It's fine. Let's go with North Dakota State.
It would be such an awesome upset and so much fun to root for.
That's right.
Do you know what their last name is?
The Bison.
Yeah.
Right.
How can you not pick the Bison?
Yeah. And, you know, other folks have made the point. The last time Kansas lost in the first round to the Bison.
Oh.
Of Bucknell.
Where is that game going to be? It's going to be in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it is.
It's in Minnesota. You're right.
Joe Mead, help us. For God's sakes, help us, Joe Mead.
I'm not sure.
It's in Minnesota.
I think it's
game?
In Minnesota.
It is in Minnesota. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, Minneapolis. That's right.
Yeah, so that's like, what, an hour and a half from North? So they're going to have a lot of North Dakotans. And by the way, when is the last time anything sports-wise exciting happened in North Dakota other than hockey?
Seriously.
If they beat Kansas, this could be maybe the greatest moment in North Dakota history. Sports-wise. Right?
It has to be. Didn't you go to South Dakota? Was that North Dakota or South Dakota? Or you went and watched the game?
Yeah, we're... God, I can't even remember. I went to the one that has no reason to go there. I went to the one that doesn't have Mount Rushmore.
That doesn't apply to both? Oh.
Yeah, one of them has Mount Rushmore. I think that's South... I went to South Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. So next round, so we got... Right now, we have Louisville playing Ohio State. We'll take Louisville. Right?
You know, we missed some games.
No, wait, no, we're doing the we did the East bracket.
You skipped.
Oh, we skipped BC, USC. I'm sorry.
You skipped Michigan State, too.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay. I really like BC. I've actually watched them a couple times.
Okay. I like BC, too.
I'm not sold on USC, and I just think, I don't know. I just like BC. I think they're good.
So USC getting hot and winning, the Pac-10. We think that, you know, they kind of used up all their
mo
on that one.
How about this? Tim Floyd.
Yeah, okay. Well, how about this? Al Skinner.
Well, but Al can win a game before he does Al Skinner things.
Okay, fine. I'm good.
That is a coaching matchup for the ages. Skinner, Floyd. It's Fisher Spassky all over again. Okay.
Yep.
And then Michigan State against Robert Morris.
It's Michigan State.
Yeah. Robert Morris, one of my favorite names in the tournament. You know, I talked about this on Monday, but you know how much I love colleges named after people.
Yes, you have a special thing for colleges named after
people. I want
people.
A college of Bill Simmons or Bill Simmons University.
I would hate to think about what the girls would look like.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? We would not even worry about SATs with the females. It would be pictures only.
Well, the key to all of your Bill Simmons University, where would it be?
Oh, there's no question. It would be in Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe
Havasu?
Like a San Diego. San Diego needs another college, right?
Well, you need water.
Oh, Lake Havasu. Yeah, I'll have it in Lake Havasu.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have Cedric Ceballos will be a guest speaker.
That's in Arizona, right?
You and I are the only two that remember that.
I know, and it's basically the only thing that I know about Lake Havasu.
I'm gonna Google Cedric Ceballos and Lake Havasu and see if anything even comes up. Oh yeah. Yeah, he was suspended without pay. Cause he just went to Lake Havasu. He just left during the season.
He needed some personal time.
It was so good. And how about Charlie Villanueva with the Twitter thing? I thought that was great.
He just wanted to let all his fans know how into the game he was.
But the best part is he only had 1,600 fans. You have almost as many in your Facebook group.
I think Jacko has three times that many.
How does he only have 1,600 fans? He's a starter on an NBA team. You'd think he would have 1,600 groupies.
I think it's how weird he looks. kind of weird.
I still think Terry Cummings is his father. All right, so Louisville over Ohio State, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Who do we like? Oh, we like Wake Forest over Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like rooting for Chase Buttinger, but I'm going to be excited to root against him in that game. I'll root for him against Utah, but then I'll immediately turn on him the next game.
Yeah, that's fine.
Who do we like in West Virginia versus North Dakota State? We like West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Okay. That'll be so much fun if they make it. God, I hope. If there's a God, Gus Johnson is doing that game.
The North Dakota State game?
Hey, Joe Mead.
Yes.
Can you find out the announcers for these games? Can you find out where Gus is going to be while we do this?
Yeah, I'll check on where Gus's whereabouts.
Just shut the internet porn site for like 5 minutes and try to help us out.
Okay.
BC against Michigan State.
It's a good one.
What do we think?
It's one of these ACC Big East matchups.
Yep.
Historically, the ACC's done pretty well against the what did I say? I said Big East. I didn't mean to say that. Big 12. Big 10.
This is a tough one. I really do like BC, though. I think they have two really, really strong players. I like Rice.
I really like Rice.
And I like Sanders. I just like the team.
And there's an interesting fact about Michigan State.
Yeah.
They've never lost in Indianapolis, apparently. They're like 6-0 there. That's where they won.
Hmm. Well, let's make a decision because we're already at the 20-minute mark.
I'm going with BC.
Okay, good. I like that, too.
Good.
So we go with BC.
Yeah.
And then Louisville versus Wake Forest in the Sweet 16.
I like Louisville.
Me, too. I think that's where the Wake Forest run ends.
Yes.
West Virginia against Boston College. I still like BC.
Let's do it. They beat a lot of good teams this year.
Isn't the Sweet 16 in the Final Eight, or as I like to call it, the Great Eight, isn't that in Boston, in this regional? Or no, that's the Eastern thing.
It's in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who's the East one's in Boston. I'm sorry.
Right.
This is the Midwest.
Yep.
Louisville, BC, I like that. BC trying to get revenge for the city of Boston after the damage Patino did to the Celtics. But we'll say Louisville over BC.
Yeah, that is what we're going to say.
Okay, so we have Louisville over BC in the Midwest.
Yeah, and I don't mind going chalk with that one, you know, and having Louisville be in the Final Four.
Right.
Because,
yep.
You know.
I know.
They're pretty good.
Let's go to the West.
Let's go to the West.
UConn, the number one seed, we'll put them in over Chattanooga.
Yeah.
How about that conference, though? Last year they had Davidson making a lot of noise, and this year they have a 16 seed. That's a dramatic drop-off.
Well, and a 16 seed with, I think, the worst record in the whole tournament, 18-16.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not good.
BYU over Texas A&M. I've always liked Josh Carter. I feel like he's been there for 40 years, and I want to take him. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And plus BYU. Always fun to root against them.
That's right.
Purdue against Northern Iowa. I love Purdue.
Me too.
Washington against Mississippi State. This one is a little,
See, I watched a lot of that Mississippi State team in the SEC tournament. I actually like them, and that's going to be my selection.
Okay, I'm with you because we need a high pick.
They have a kid on that team that can take over a game with his shot blocking if he doesn't get in foul trouble. Varnado.
Oh, Varnado.
I'm sure he has more than one name, but I like just calling him Varnado.
Did they call him Vernie or the Tornado or
I don't know.
Nado or something? Hey, while we're on this subject, very quick. You wanted to weigh in on the Klosterman-Simmons argument about college basketball versus pro. You made an interesting point when we were on the phone yesterday. I'd like you to make it again in front of an audience.
I'm not sure.
When you're talking about the whole romanticized version that college basketball is so much fun, it's so exciting.
Yeah, right.
It is.
Right,
it's not
right.
Necessarily true.
So the only observation I made is you know, go to some of those games. Go to some of those tournament games. I've been to a lot of them, those conference tournament games.
Right.
They're not any more exciting than a Wednesday night Wizards-Milwaukee Bucks game. In
right.
fact, they don't. First of all, they don't sell beer, so it's definitely less exciting.
That sucks.
And there's no kiss cam, and you know. Well, anyway,
yeah.
I'll stop. But the main point is, I watched that Mississippi State Tennessee game, the championship game for the SEC conference title,
I did
and
too.
It looked like the two teams were dead for the first three quarters of the game. because they were tired. The fans were tired. It was a very lackluster atmosphere.
There's no quarters in college basketball. That hurt your argument. You meant the first 30 minutes.
First 30 minutes. Right. Yeah. Three quarters. Yes, the first 30 minutes.
Oh, you mean the first three-fourths of the
game.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that's what
I
was saying.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to undermine you.
No, it's all good.
The whole thing about how fun and crazy College Hoops is, people are really basing that off of every Duke-UNC game.
Yeah, there are a handful of conferences that have built-in rivalries where that's the case. But, there's lots and lots and lots of games that are just as, poorly attended and boring as anything that happens in the pros.
Right. And, if Duke comes to Maryland, yeah, that's going to be exciting. But it's also exciting when Cleveland comes to Los Angeles. So
that's right.
I don't totally get that argument. And as I said in the podcast, it's just the players are better. Like in college, you're not going to see Kobe Bryant score 31 points in one half on Shane Battier and Ron Artest.
Well, that's the thing that's kind of, that I feel that way. I prefer pro basketball to college basketball because I like the quality of the game. And you and I are in violent agreement about that. So I'm coming at it already with a skewed point of view. But this notion that, it's so insane and intense every time at the college level, I take a little issue with that.
And you and I both watched the overtimes in the UConn-Syracuse game. And as dramatic as that was, and, it was definitely exciting, and it was a very, very good sporting event. The basketball was terrible.
That kid Harris
was terrible.
If I had a dollar for every layup that kid Harris missed last 5 minutes and the six overtimes, I'd have $40.
Right.
That's how many he missed.
I mean, they had a little kid's game at halftime one of the Clippers game, and this one kid was lighting it up this season. He had like three baskets. I was just as excited about that as the Syracuse-UConn game. And it wasn't artistically a success either. So
right.
I don't know. I just think if you love basketball, I don't know why you wouldn't want to watch the best guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the atmosphere at college can be compelling and exciting, and when it's good, it can be real good. But the same thing is true of pros. L.A. Boston is a very fun experience.
Well, and as you pointed out last night, when we talked on the phone, with college football, with the bowl games,
they're terrible.
Anybody who's ever been to a bowl game is tries to block it out of their mind as fast as possible.
That's exactly right. Maybe that'll be my challenge to Chuck. Go to five bowl games next year. He can pick them.
Mm. I respect his opinion. I've heard the college thing versus the pros. It's more pure, all that stuff. I guess it just comes down to what's more pure. No, I mean the whole these guys are this is their last chance basically to play at that level.
Okay.
And they care more and they're going to give it all and the coaches have more power and all that stuff. I understand all that. I just like watching the best.
Me too.
It's, if we're going to a diner and it's the greatest short order cook and waitress staff ever, we're still at a diner.
That's right.
We're still having omelets. I still want to go to a restaurant. Yeah.
And hash browns.
And I'm not saying I can't have a fantastic time in a diner, but
right.
I like going to a restaurant. A nice one with a good chef.
And some steaks.
Okay. Washington, Mississippi State. We took Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Oh, Marquette against Utah State. I like the 26-year-old. I'm fascinated by him.
So it's Utah State.
Yeah.
Because poor Marquette with Dominic James.
Yeah, that was a murder. Why are they a six seed?
Because of the poor Dominic James. They would have been higher. They were great this year, Marquette.
Is there any Ewing theory potential with them?
No. They're not good enough.
Missouri at Cornell.
It's Missouri. Missouri, by the way, you're going to get a lot of good words from me on behalf of Missouri.
I'm right with you.
Yeah.
Andy Katz made a good point about Cornell.
Which is what?
Well, they flew out of Ithaca, but this game is being played in Boise, Idaho.
Yes.
So he was wondering, how many stops did the plane make from Ithaca to Boise, Idaho? I'm going to guess at least three. Those kids won't be the same for a month after that flight.
Well, that's going to be relevant. We have a sort of reverse commute thing to talk about when we get to the east.
Okay.
That'll also be interesting.
All right. Well, America awaits your expertise on California, Maryland, since the Terps are your team.
Oh, it's Maryland. It's a no-brainer. I don't think anybody really disagrees. California kind of limped into the tournament. Maryland had to win two games in the ACC tournament to get in. They won the two, and they did everything they could to hang with Duke. Duke's just a bad matchup for Maryland, but Maryland gave them a game. And, that's one we can dispense with quickly, I think.
Well, the one thing we've learned is that you can't sleep on a Mike Montgomery team. Oh, wait, you can. Memphis against CS Northridge. Whatever. This Cal State Northridge.
Right.
Okay.
That's not where Mark Stein went to school, is it?
I think he went to CS Fullerton.
Oh, that's right. Fullerton.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'll feel fine just picking Memphis and disregarding Northridge.
I wish that he went to CS Northridge because it would be so much more fun to pick Memphis, but I'm picking them as well. Okay, next round.
Yeah.
Connecticut, Texas A&M, we take UConn.
Yep.
Purdue at Mississippi State, I like Purdue.
I like Purdue.
Utah State and the 26-year-old gets Missouri.
I like Missouri.
I'd say he's a 26-year-old virgin.
What?
Well, he's from Utah. Maybe he doesn't want to have sex till he gets married.
Is he definitely from Utah? If you go to Utah State, does that mean you're from Utah?
That's a good point.
Anyway.
Check. What's his name? Gary Wilkinson.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd ask Joe Mead to Google Gary Wilkinson, but I think Joe left the room about 20
I didn't.
Minutes
hey,
ago.
Gus Johnson?
Yeah.
He's Minneapolis.
Uh-oh.
Oh, so he's North Dakota.
He's North Dakota State, Kansas.
Oh, my God. I'm putting all my money on North Dakota. Yep, Gary Wilkinson, born in South Jordan, Utah.
Oh, so there's a chance.
What do you mean there's a chance? He was. Oh, there's a chance he's a virgin. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just call him the 26-year-old virgin from now on.
I'll let you do that.
Oh, stop it. Missouri over Utah State, yes.
Yeah.
All right, Maryland against Memphis, 10 against the 2.
No, there's nothing. I mean, Memphis, this is where it ends for Maryland. Okay. That Memphis is a worse matchup for Maryland than Duke. Maryland has a problem with teams that are super athletic.
There you go. Hey, and just for you out there, Joe House, always realistic about his Terps.
Oh, yeah.
And usually dead on, too.
I already feel like, this is gravy now. They made it to the tournament. It vindicates, the whole season for Gary Williams.
Just a quick aside, I was driving around listening to Tirico and Van Pelt on Monday.
Yes.
And nothing against those guys because, I know they have to get name guests and it's good to have these guys on. But they interviewed like back-to-back coaches. It was like Gary Williams and then another guy. Is there anything more boring than listening to a college basketball coach get interviewed?
How about this? Isn't there on your website interviews with every coach in the whole tournament?
I just think out of all the coaches, college basketball, it's just so stilted. They're not going to say anything. They're going to talk about their guys and how great he's a great kid.
The only ones worth interviewing are the guys who've been there for the first time.
Oh, like Dino, our man Dino.
Yes, and guys from schools that are there for the first time. Like I would actually be interested in hearing from the coach at North Dakota State.
If I interviewed Gary Williams, I would just basically try to I'd turn it around to why did you screw BC? Why'd you leave BC 20 years ago? Try to antagonize him. Because obviously he's going to come out of it. Yeah, it's great. I'm so proud of my guys.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to do Sean McDonough's show in Boston, and he was like convinced we had to have coaches on it, I guess. And I love Sean. I think he's a great broadcaster.
Right, right.
But we had these, like the BC hockey coach on for 20 minutes, and it would just be like, you'd be like banging your head against the thing. Anyway. I don't like hearing college coaches interviewed in any capacity.
Me either.
Unless it's like Tom Brennan, somebody like that, who's like a real character. Like that's who you want to hear in a
radio
show.
Or Pete Carroll.
Yeah, or Pete Carroll. Somebody who's going to give me something.
That's right.
UConn against Purdue. I really want to take Purdue here.
Let's do it. I think UConn's flawed. Now, I haven't seen enough of Purdue to be in love with them. And I was impressed by their run in the Big Ten.
I really like them.
But I'm comfortable enough with it because of the flaws, because of UConn's flaws.
Do we like the beat?
I am secretly hoping and wishing that the Wizards get him.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because I think he should go in that 2-3 range. He's 7'3" and he's 19 years old. I think he's 19.
Is he 19, but like it's one of those like Dominican baseball players, 19?
I don't know. I'm going to look him up. I'm almost positive he's 19. He's a real 19. Look at him. He looks it.
He seems a little gawky to me.
He looks a lot younger than Greg Oden, speaking of gawky.
Well, yeah, but I'm not a fan of the beat. I don't see him as a pro. I'm just not seeing it. I guess it would really depend on what team he went to. If he's on a bad team, just running up and down, trying to block shots, I don't know. Where's that getting you? Like, has he shown any semblance of a low post game?
No. He's just a big, strong kid. Big, strong, tall kid.
Can't you see LeBron looking over at him during the pregame warm-ups and thinking like, oh, I'm going to dunk on him. Yes. I'm going to dunk on him each quarter. UConn-Purdue. We're going Purdue.
Yeah, I'm going Purdue. I'm fine with it.
I am fine with it, too. Missouri-Memphis. I like Missouri.
You do? It's a great matchup. I wish these two teams were in different brackets because they both play super up-tempo, which I really like. And I think Missouri is one of those teams, every year a team comes in that traps and runs all over the floor for 40 minutes. And coaches, who haven't played, opponents who haven't seen that kind of style before get freaked out and don't know what to do with it.
Right.
I think by the time Missouri-Memphis gets lined up, that Memphis will be ready for him. So I would go with Memphis personally.
I'm going to defer to you since you follow harder than I do. I like that game, though.
I like the game, too.
I think that's potentially the best of the first three rounds, Missouri-Memphis, if that ends up happening. That could be like an NBA game.
It's going to be a track meet.
Yeah. I'm excited for that one.
Me, too.
I'll go with Memphis, and then if Missouri wins, I'll blame you.
Okay, fine.
All right. Now you can hear me shuffle my papers. Now we're going to the East Regional. By the way, did you see LeBron last night?
I'm trying not to watch because you cheated me out of our fantasy playoffs. So at this point now, I don't have the same rooting interest
that
I had.
What does that even mean?
Yes, you conduct a random draft to see what the matchups are for the final 2 weeks to see who's going to make the playoffs in our fantasy league.
But
and
that
magically,
wasn't my fault.
Somehow or another, I'm playing against the top two teams in the whole league, and I'm on the bubble, and somehow my team with LeBron and Kevin Durant and Yao Ming gets bumped. I have to play the top two teams in our whole fantasy league just to make it to the playoffs.
Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the ESPN website that decided they weren't going to have matchups for us in Week 18 and Week 19. And it's manual, and they do them.
Don't you work for ESPN? I'm mad at the website.
We did it very scientifically. My daughter picked numbers.
Oh, that's right. Your daughter.
The bottom line is Kevin Durant got hurt, and that's why he didn't make it. Let's move on.
See what he did last night. Of course, he's. I love him. He is the MVP, right? There's no real debate. I love D. Wade, but...
I need another 3 weeks.
Okay.
The East. Pittsburgh, we're taking over Eastern Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State and Tennessee, 8-9.
I'm picking Oklahoma State.
Me too.
Yeah, good.
Florida State, Wisconsin. I love Florida State.
Me too.
That seems
I love
like
Tony Douglas.
It seems like a complete mismatch.
He's a good kid, that Tony Douglas.
Plus, you have an attachment because Leonard Hamilton did some magic with the Wiz that
yes,
one year.
Yes, he did.
Xavier, Portland State.
Ooh. I'm going to say Xavier, but... I wouldn't be shocked if the Portland State comes out. In fact, let me just drop these little factoids on you. Portland State beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga this year and lost to Washington by one.
They have a 5'6" point guard named Jeremiah Dominguez.
and is that a knock?
Well, here's the thing.
Is that your counter argument?
No, I think that's a good thing. I like the little guys. Here's why I kind of want to pick them, or at least root for them. Their coach is named Ken Bone. That is maybe the top five poor name in the history of sports, Ken Bone.
Yeah,
that's
right.
His name,
we
Coach
have
Bone.
Ken Bone, Rod Rust, Dick Trickle. What are the other ones?
Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau, that's a good one.
Yeah, really anybody named Dick.
And Corey Maggette.
Ken Bone. That's the guy's name. Can you imagine playing for Coach Bone?
Come on, let's root for Bone.
I want to root for the Bone.
Let's pick Portland State.
I want Portland State as well.
We're doing it.
Give us the Bone.
Give us the Bone.
Joe Mead, how much of that is getting bleeped out? I say nothing.
I say nothing.
Thanks. Well, another one of my favorite picks. I already have penciled it. I'm not listening to you. VCU over UCLA in round one.
It's the upset du jour. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, but it's an upset du jour because they should be favored in this game.
Well, here's the thing.
UCLA stinks.
This is the one that I mentioned to you where UCLA has to come from the West Coast and play on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand that. Why are they coming from California to play in Philadelphia? VCU has to travel about an hour and a half, 2 hours tops, to get up to Philly. And the UCLA has to play a late game.
I got to say, I have one UCLA comment. I think it's amazing that they didn't win the title or at least make the title game last year. When you look at the fact that they had three guys leave who immediately became NBA starters. Even Luke Mbabuba Dibute, even he's a starter. I mean, he's like a valuable guy in the Bucks, and the Bucks are the eighth seed in the playoffs right now. Westbrook might win Rookie of the Year, and Kevin Love has been much better than a lot of people thought. Not me, because I like them, but it's just very hard for me to believe they didn't do better last year.
The power of Derrick Rose.
I would go another direction. Do they have a good coach? Is that guy good?
Ben Howland?
I know he's a good recruiter and he's a good guy. Everybody loves him. But is he actually a good basketball coach?
Three
I don't
straight
understand.
Final fours. Three straight Final Fours.
How do you not make the – how do you not do better?
Hey, Memphis had three guys that made the pros too.
When did they lose to Memphis?
One
was it Final Eight though or Final Four or when was it?
Who?
UCLA.
No, they lost in the Final Four last year.
Yeah,
didn't
you're
they?
Right. God, I don't know though. I mean, Daryl Arthur barely plays.
And Chris Douglas Roberts and
Chris Douglas Roberts doesn't play either.
But that doesn't mean they're not pro players. They're in the NBA.
I know, but those UCLA guys are like really good. They're like immediate contributors, and they have Collison.
I'm not going to knock Ben Howland.
Well, I'm going to knock him, and I just did. What do you think of that?
I don't mind it, and I just want to let you know that that VCU pick as upset du jour, the president picked it. So you and the president can enjoy that one.
Well, you picked it too because this is our bracket.
That's fine.
And I'm trumping you in VCU. Yeah. I like VCU. I love the point guard.
Yeah, Eric Manor's great.
And also, they have a guy named Larry Sanders on the team.
That's, which is always a bonus.
He's going to get a couple hey nows from me. Villanova over American, no contest.
Right, no contest.
That makes me mad that we didn't make it. And also that American was so much better than Holy Cross. I continue to think we should move to Div 3.
Well, first of all, think about how much fun it would have been Villanova-Holy Cross. That's a fun game.
Would it have been fun considering the fact that we shot 18% in the first half of our Patriot League Championship game?
You know, every year I watch those Patriot League Championship games. At least we're making it, with some consistency. But it's like the same. It's Groundhog Day. It's always 18%. It's always guys that can't finish. It's nobody. It's a bunch of guys that can't shoot.
If they put me in charge of when the alumni run the sports, they basically are in charge of – like the guy on Friday Night Lights,
right,
Buddy.
Right.
If they made me the Buddy of Holy Cross, no offense to Ralph Willard, but he'd be packing his bags. And here would be our game plan. We would only go for up-and-coming coaches in their late 20s, early 30s who would be using us as a stepping stone. So we basically have the guys for 3 years. They leave. We get another coach. Like, for instance, Rick Pitino's son might get the BU job after – this season. He's like 28. Everybody says he's a Pitino clone. Why wouldn't Holy Cross hire Rick Pitino's son?
Is the thing really the coach? Isn't it more whatever ridiculous parameters the school imposes around the recruiting?
Yeah,
the academic standards and all the rest of that.
It's no different than Gonzaga.
Well, it's no different from Georgetown or Duke. I mean, but still.
No, I think at some point when we have an entire decade of really not being a threat, I think.
Oh, we've had it. What are you waiting for?
The decade's over.
Yeah.
I just think that if you're going to be a school on the fringe in that Holy Cross Gonzaga group, the odds of you getting lucky with a coach like Mark Few are very slim.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the pattern of these teams that maybe, pull off a round one upset or whatever, it's always young coaches, always. So what do we want to do? If we want to just have a group of good guys who try hard and a nice coach, then go to Div 3. Let's play Amherst and Williams. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that too, actually.
Let's go to the NESCAC. Maybe
what's
that's where we belong.
That's right.
Why do I have to watch my Division I basketball team shoot 18% in the first half of a championship game?
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm watching a D3 game.
If you're a kid who is, you know, you have a chance to go Ivy League, or you have a chance to play at Duke, or you have a chance to play at Stanford, or whatever, what makes you come to Holy Cross? That's the part that nobody's ever been able to fully explain to me.
Yeah, that's right.
How do we get the kid who's going to be the star at Harvard? How do we get the kid who's good enough to play point guard at Georgetown? We're kind of in the middle, not getting anybody.
There was an era there when we were in school, when Holy Cross had some success recruiting in some of the East Coast cities. Like
yes.
There was a kid from Baltimore that was there that was great. Kids from Philly, kids from New Jersey.
We don't get those kids anymore.
I don't think we get those kids anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The last kid we had who was like a real potential prospect was Rob Feaster, and that was like 3 years after we left.
Yeah. Where was he from?
I forget too. Texas, Minnesota.
I don't care. I'll say Texas.
Minnesota has Tubby Smith.
Okay. If you want to pick Minnesota, I'm okay with that.
I can't stand Rick Barnes. I just think he's terrible, and I continue to blame him for Durant getting knocked out. I'd rather root against him.
You're still scarred by the Durant thing.
And thank God the Texas fans have come around, and now they're finally starting to admit that maybe Rick Barnes isn't all that, just a good recruiter. Minnesota, and then Duke over Binghamton, obviously.
Yep.
So next round, Pittsburgh, Oklahoma State. We like Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Florida State, Portland State.
We like.
Did we really take Portland State?
Yes, we did. We did it.
Xavier beat Memphis.
I don't care.
Oh, yeah, we took it because of Rick Bone.
Yes, go with the bone. But not against Florida State.
Yeah, not against Florida State. Nice run for the bone.
Right.
VCU over Villanova. Man, I'd love to take VCU here, but Villanova's really good.
Yeah, we're not taking VCU.
That would just be dumb.
Right.
Scotty Reynolds, a ninth-year senior. Minnesota Duke.
I like Duke.
You don't really like Duke.
That's true. I really don't like Duke. I intensely dislike Duke, but I actually think that they're constructed in a way to have the potential to go a little deep this year.
You know, the Gerald Henderson kind of came on.
That's why. The difference
I like him as a pro. I think he's better as a pro than a college
player.
Yeah.
The difference between this version of Duke versus some recent years is that he's a kid that can score a basket when they have to have a basket, you know, to stop a run or to create some momentum, take a lead from 5 range up to 7-8 range. They put the ball in his hands and let him go ahead and do it. And he's not afraid to go in the middle and get fouled. He also will do that stop and pop three. He's got a lot of confidence.
Billy Leike.
Joey Leike, too.
And you know who doesn't have a kid like that? In my opinion, North Carolina.
Yeah, right. That kid is Ty Lawson. And if Ty Lawson's hurt.
Ty Lawson is hurt. He's got a bad big toe. Big toes don't get better.
They do not get better. Ask
they
LT.
Don't heal in a week.
Ask my fantasy team.
Yeah. I like Gerald Henderson.
Team.
You know what, though? In the next round when we have Duke going against Villanova,
uh-huh.
I'm putting on my Duke Sucks t-shirt that I bought for $29 at some vintage store in L.A. like 3 months ago, and I'm going to root for Villanova and pick them.
Okay. I think Duke's going to beat Villanova, but...
Oh, no.
Make
your case.
For the reasons I just mentioned, I think they're constructed for long haul. I've seen Villanova go cold, and when they go cold, and especially Scotty Reynolds, they're dead. They can't score the basketball. They go long stretches without not being able to score the basketball. And I think Gerald Henderson is the difference in this. Now, Duke plays a similar kind of style. You know, they're out on the perimeter. They don't bang inside very much. But Gerald Henderson, to me, he's the singular difference because he's better than Scotty Reynolds. He's much better than Scotty Reynolds. And Scotty Reynolds is from this area. I like Scotty Reynolds.
All right, well, I'll pick Duke, and I'll wait around to wear my Duke Sucks t-shirt.
Yeah, just wait one round. That's all.
Pittsburgh, Florida State. We like Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Pittsburgh's excellent.
Pittsburgh's excellent.
I really like them.
Pittsburgh is the best team I've seen all year.
I like them.
Yeah, consistently the best team.
Let's take Pittsburgh over Duke, and then I can wear my t-shirt.
Done.
Gerald Henderson, by the way, same name as the guy who saved the 1984 finals for the Boston Celtics and then was traded for the draft pick that belonged to Seattle that became Len Bias, who died in 2 days.
Well, that's pretty good lineage.
Yeah. It's interesting that we've had two Gerald Hendersons.
Yeah.
All right, last one. What is this? The South.
South. Which will start in Greensboro, North Carolina.
A lot of star power in the South.
Yeah. Oh, this one is just rugged. This is the best bracket to me.
We got some lottery picks in this one.
For
Blake
sure.
Griffin, Johnny Flynn, Harden, Lawson.
Yep.
Anyway, unfortunately not Tyler Hansbrough, who should have come out last year if he wanted to get drafted in the first round.
That's a fact.
Now he's looking at about pick 35.
I like him. I mean, I do too. I admire him coming back to school and all that, but from a purely selfish point of view, he should have come out last year.
Yeah. Oh, but he's probably worth it to him to go down as
yeah,
one
know,
of the
best.
And he'll have a 10-year NBA career. He's a better Mark Madsen. He'll be an 11th man for somebody. He'll play hard. He'll practice hard. He's
yeah.
a good guy to have on your team.
That's right.
Unfortunately, he won't ever play crunch time for you. UNC over Radford, yes.
Yep.
LSU over Butler.
I mainly don't care.
Well, how does that help us?
LSU underwhelmed me in the.
I agree.
In the SEC tournament.
I totally agree.
So let's pick Butler. Not because I have any good reason to, but.
I already had Butler penciled in because for the same reason LSU underwhelmed me.
That's fine.
Illinois over Western Kentucky.
I actually like Western Kentucky.
I was going to say, for no reason at all, I like Western Kentucky.
Illinois has a kid who broke his hand. He's well,
Chester Frazier.
Yeah, right. So that's not a good thing. And the main reason we have to pick Western Kentucky, from my point of view, Illinois didn't score 40 points in two games this year. Those are Holy Cross numbers. Not scoring 40 points in a college basketball game.
I'll give you a third reason. It looks like Michael Jordan's son is going to be playing in this game.
Oh,
Jeff Jordan.
Western Kentucky it is.
Although that could mean MJ will be in the house.
I don't know. MJ was in the house, you know, as the Wizards GM, too.
Look out, sorority girls. Here comes MJ.
Oh, dear.
Gonzaga and Akron. I love Gonzaga.
I love Gonzaga, too.
Arizona State against Temple. I did not see Temple this year.
I did see Temple. I like Temple. Temple would be my pick here.
They have a kid named Deontay Christmas.
He's the kid. Christmas is good. He's legitimately good. He's a scorer. He's athletic. I like him.
It's got to be one of the 10 greatest names in the history of this tournament.
Deontay Christmas.
Do you think he's the illegitimate son of Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber?
I do not think that, no.
Syracuse.
I mean, seeing him play, I don't think that.
Syracuse against Stephen F. Austin, a 14 seed.
It's another one of those colleges you like.
Yeah.
Syracuse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Johnny.
Sure.
Billy likes Johnny.
What's not to like?
Michigan-Clemson. You've seen Clemson a few times.
Yeah, this is one of those ACC, Big East, I mean, God, I keep saying that, Big Ten matchups. I like Clemson.
You know, yeah, no part of you is kind of secretly rooting for Michigan just because it's nice to have them back in the college basketball scene?
They're back on the scene. They made the tournament. That's enough.
Yeah, but it won't be fun for you to root for them, have a little Fab Five memories?
No.
You're really attached to Clemson?
I'm not attached to them. Do you want to pick Michigan? We can pick Michigan if you want.
I kind of like to root for them. If I had to live in a Midwest, I mean, I'm sorry. If I had to live in a middle of the country state, I would pick Michigan. I like everybody I've ever met from Michigan except for one person I went to college with.
I like the coach. I like their coach. It's the coach from West Virginia.
Michigan should always be good. Michigan should be a college basketball powerhouse.
I agree with that.
It bothers me that they're not.
And
I want them to win, and I want them to do well, and I want kids to go there.
I mean, I don't mind them, the fact that they were punished a little bit karmically for Chris Webber's cheating, but
if you had to go to any Big Ten school, wouldn't you? I'm not a what? They're Big Ten, right?
Big Ten, yeah.
Yeah. I would pick Michigan, right? Or would you go there or Northwestern?
I would go to Northwestern, but my brother went to Penn State, so.
I would go to Michigan. I just think it's a cool school.
It's too cold. I wouldn't do that again.
No, I'm saying if you had to go to a school in that conference.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I would go to Northwestern, probably.
I'd go to Michigan. Okay. What ACC school would you go to if you could go to any ACC school?
Florida State.
Me too.
I'll give you one guess why.
Yeah, I don't need to guess.
Right.
What about Pac-10?
Is San Diego State in the Pac-10?
No.
I would go to Arizona or Arizona State. Probably Arizona State.
I'd go to UCLA.
Oh, UCLA. It's not that nice of a campus, is it?
It's a little city-oriented. It's just I think it would be cool to be in L.A. There's so much to do.
That's true.
You have the beach with California versus Arizona, you're in the desert.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You can get to the beach real easy from UCLA.
What about Big 12? I would go to Texas. I got to say, actually, I think I would have enjoyed going to the University of Texas at
Me
Austin.
Too. Austin.
I love Austin.
I haven't been, but I know I love it.
All right, so if you had to choose between Maryland, University of Texas, Northwestern, Florida State, University of Texas, UCLA, and Northwestern, what would you do?
UCLA.
I think I would, too.
Maybe Texas, though. Texas is a dark horse on that because the weather's pretty good there.
I'm still with you on San Diego State, though. It doesn't matter what you do in college. It matters what you do after.
Right.
Okay. Clemson, Michigan, we got Michigan, and then Oklahoma over Morgan State.
Yep.
Todd Bozeman's dramatic return to the tournament.
Look, Morgan State beat Maryland.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
How does that guy get another coaching job?
He's in the running to replace the guy who just left UVA.
That's crazy.
Okay.
UNC Butler, round two.
Yeah, it's UNC.
Gonzaga, West Kentucky.
We like
two.
Gonzaga, yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Temple, Syracuse.
We like Syracuse.
I like my man Johnny.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma, Michigan. We like Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So that's a boring bracket. We like the top four seeds.
I don't know if it's boring because those top four seeds are awesome.
I'm with you. I'm just saying we didn't take any chances. So, listen, I got to take Gonzaga. Over UNC.
You don't have to do anything to convince me. I'm already there.
I really, really like Gonzaga, and I watched them just destroy St. Mary's.
They
just
have three very good primetime guys. They're tested. I really like that coach.
Yeah.
They actually, I think this is a year they have the talent. You know, in past years, they've had good, not great teams. This might be a great team.
The other teams always seem to have a weak link guy or a couple of weak link guys that just weren't ready to be on that stage. And this year's team is deeper.
I like Gonzaga. The only thing about UNC is if Lawson comes back, he's fully healthy and he's ready to go do work, then, you know, it's not an eyebrow raiser that UNC handles its business and whoops Gonzaga. But I like Gonzaga. I'm picking Gonzaga. I'm with Gonzaga.
You know, here's the thing, though, with the big toe.
I know.
Yeah, you play through the sprained ankle, you can do it. Like Rondo had a sprained ankle, they said he'd be out 10 days, he came back in 4. You can tape it up, you can not think about it. The big toe, you can't get around it.
It's critical. It's every bit as critical in basketball, especially for a point guard, as it is for a running back in football.
Yeah.
And after taking with Andy and Tomlinson last year, I'll never get over it.
Oklahoma, Syracuse.
It's a great one. I saw so much of Syracuse.
I know, I did too.
I feel like I might be a little swayed, you know, by the sheer volume of what I saw.
Are we sure that they can handle Griffin, though?
No, I'm pretty sure they can't.
Yeah, I don't think they have they don't have the bodies, in my opinion, to handle them.
What I wonder, though, is Oklahoma's guards good enough to handle Syracuse's backcourt? Does it offset what Griffin brings to the table?
The answer to that is probably no.
Probably no.
No, I mean, they're not going to be able to handle Johnny Flynn.
Yeah, right. Oklahoma's backcourt won't be able to handle Syracuse. So which way is it cut? What do you pick? Do you pick the team with the better guards or the team with the dominant big guy?
It worries me, though, that Syracuse played... I think that stretch that has to just wear you out a little
bit. We have a little precedent with them. They did that, what was it, 3 years ago, 2 years ago? They had to win the Big East tournament to basically get in there and cement, and then they came in and lost in the first round. So I'm going to go ahead with Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma.
My only thing with Oklahoma is it seemed, and I don't know if the record backs this up or not, and I'm sure I'll get an email saying I'm an idiot because it's not true, but it just seemed they were better at home.
They only lost 5 games, and 2 of those games were when Griffin was out. Both were road games. with his concussion.
I watched him on the road a couple times, and it just seemed like their team got taken out of the games I watched a little bit by the crowd.
I mean, they you know, 27.
Where is this game going to happen?
It's in...
Joe Mead, where is the South Regional final eight, grade eight and sweet 16, do we know?
Memphis.
So who would the crowd be rooting for? Probably neither.
Right.
Syracuse travels a little better.
Why do you think Syracuse travels better?
Well, because they have crazy fans.
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying.
What do you think? I could see Griffin just like get the thing with Griffin from he's almost afraid to play defense because he never wants to get in foul trouble.
Yeah.
If he gets in foul trouble in any of these games, you just get murdered.
That's true. Maybe we should.
Let's take Syracuse.
Let's take Syracuse. Okay.
We're gonna have them losing. We're having them losing the next round anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Final Four, Gonzaga over Syracuse.
I like that too. I think this is the year for Gonzaga.
So we have our Final Four: Louisville, Purdue, Pittsburgh, and Gonzaga. I like that.
Two ones,
a five, and a four.
Yeah.
Louisville
and
Purdue.
Did we took Purdue over Memphis?
Oh, did we?
I don't remember that.
I don't think we got that far.
We probably skipped it.
Yeah, I think I mistakenly skipped it. We should probably take Memphis over Purdue, right?
I like Memphis.
Yeah, okay.
So it would be 2-1 seeds, Louisville and Pittsburgh.
A 2 and a 4.
That sounds right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's par for the course.
Louisville, Memphis, Final Four.
Uh-huh.
I like Louisville.
I
know they're bandwagon-y.
No, I don't care. They're great. They're legitimately great.
Patino's so due.
Yeah, and he's just so built for this.
And then Pittsburgh against Gonzaga. That's a nice matchup.
That's a really good one.
I love that matchup.
It's going to be really fun to watch.
As I said before, I just think Pittsburgh's really good.
I do too.
So we'll take them. Louisville, Pittsburgh, our championship game.
So I'm going to drop a little statistic on you.
Yeah.
And see how this factors into your thinking. For 9 years in a row and 12 out of the past 13 years, the eventual national champion has made at least one recent Final Four appearance. And recent here means within the past 7 years.
Hmm.
So you know which of the two teams here hasn't made the Final Four in the past 7 years?
Louisville?
No.
Oh, no, Pittsburgh hasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh hasn't, like, I mean, ever, right?
Right, yes. Right, exactly.
You don't have to convince me. I think that's a nice one.
Yeah.
You don't have to convince me because I wanted to take Louisville. As much as I like Pittsburgh, it just seems like it's Louisville's year.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I like that. I'm not going to argue with it. Now, listen, the president picked UNC over Louisville, so that's good. We're going to kick the president's butt.
We're going to spank him because he's going to get knocked out by Gonzaga in round three.
Yes.
Take that, Barack. Have a little of that. Do you smell what the Simbo's cooking?
Right. Barack, right. Chalk all by Obama.
All right, so our upset picks, Arizona 12, North Dakota State 14.
Love it.
Mississippi State 13, Utah State 11,
good
Maryland
one.
10, Michigan 10, Temple 11, Western Kentucky 12, Minnesota 10, VCU 11, Portland State 13. We
talked about
upsets. Ken Bone. And then for the next round, we went pretty conventional.
It's okay.
Purdue we had, and BC and West Virginia and Florida State were the only lower seeds we had advancing.
That's the right way to do it, though.
Yeah, and then the next round, the only low seeds we had advancing were BC and Purdue.
What's Gonzaga? That's a four.
Oh, yeah, and Gonzaga, I'm sorry. Oh, and I guess Syracuse, because they're a three in Oklahoma.
Yeah, those all count.
Yeah, that's good. And then our final four, Louisville, Pittsburgh, Memphis, and Gonzaga.
I love it.
Louisville over Pittsburgh. So we're happy with this bracket. Joe Mead, what do you think?
It's a good one. It's going to lose to mine, but it's pretty good.
It's going to lose to yours? We don't care about yours. We just want to beat President Obama.
That's right.
Any last thoughts?
I think this was every bit as exciting as the World Baseball Classic. Mission accomplished.
Let me ask you this. Do I go to the World Baseball Classic? It's like 20 minutes from my house.
What for?
Well, they're games this whole weekend and Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, well, there's going to be games until October, baseball games. Why do you want to go to baseball games in March?
Because I can chant USA, USA with my fellow Americans as we whoop some Venezuelan butt.
You enjoy that.
I think they should have Yuki Thurbina throw out the first pitch, but in handcuffs.
I have to say that's my best, that's my favorite E60 piece of the year.
Yuki Thurbina?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the guy shouldn't have used his pool. He knew the rules. You use the pool, you get torched. That was crazy. That's
shedded.
The craziest story.
I don't like any of it.
Yeah. Before we let you go, because we're already 4 minutes over the time you requested to let you go.
Yes.
Any last NBA thoughts?
Oh, I don't have any last thoughts. I'm just revving up. I mean, this is my favorite time of the year. Both because, you know, the tournament kicks in here and we're looking at the stretch run for, you know, a little bit of jockeying for a position in the NBA. I confess I'm interested in what's going on with Miami and Detroit here positioning wise. Cause if Miami gets, that four seed and is at home, ooh, look out for Miami. But you know, the MVP race is on, D-Wade and LeBron and nobody else. I mean, I guess...
No, Kobe's in there. Kobe has to be in there. They're 53-14.
Okay. Well, he won it last year, and he didn't deserve it last year.
But you could make a case he actually deserves it more this year. I think he's been really good.
He's not better than LeBron.
Oh, but he's in the discussion.
Okay, he's in the discussion. Anyway.
And I also think Dwight Howard is kind of... as the fourth party to the discussion, a pretty good fourth party.
Yeah, he needs to make some free throws for me. He needs to be the guy that gets the ball inside of 2 minutes.
For that team to keep winning after they lose Jameer Nelson and just seamlessly incorporate Rafer Austin and...
It's been very
impressive.
They
really don't have a bench at all. And
I'm not
just,
knocking them.
They might win, you know, 58, 59 games.
It's a hell of an achievement. I give it up to Van Gundy, too.
Well, you know, the other thing that... Maybe people have been talking about this, but now this Cleveland LA thing's become really interesting because Cleveland's 54-13, LA's 53-14. And as we saw last year, you get that game 6-7 at home. That's just gigantic.
It's a huge deal.
Especially for Cleveland. They've lost once at home. So both of those teams are going to be gunning it all the way down the stretch. So you might see one of those teams get to like 67 wins.
Yeah, that's a great storyline. That's going to be really fun to watch.
And let me tell you something. If LeBron wins 67 games with that supporting cast, then he has to win the MVP because that is insane.
That's right. That's right. I mean,
that's insane.
He's threatening right now, triple double every night that he steps on the floor, and that's the LeBron we've been looking for.
And not just that, but the dude's a horse.
He's dominant.
He's a horse in the sense that, like in last night's game, our friend Paul Hirschheimer pointed this out to me, did not come out.
Oh.
He's played the whole game.
48 minutes.
Said I'm going to play four. He didn't come out in the second half.
Oh, okay. 24 minutes.
His numbers this month?
Yeah. Oh, I know him.
No, I'm talking about minutes.
Oh. 44, 44,
33, 38. 43, 44, 43, 47, 40, 43. He's averaging 42 minutes a game this month.
They need to get up on some teams and let him sit out some fourth quarters.
Yeah, on the other hand, he's 24 and he's clearly genetically a freak.
So he's a horse and you just ride him.
He's only at 38 minutes a game for the year, which is pretty.
Yeah, that's good. They've been resting him. I mean, he needed a little bit of a break at the beginning of the season after the Olympics.
But that's what worries me about them in the playoffs is I don't think they can keep him off the court really at all against a good playoff team in a series. Which means he'll be averaging like 44, 45 minutes a game in the playoffs. And if they play 20, 21, 25 games.
Maybe he'll get a little rest in that first round. Because they're going to play like who? The Knicks or the Bucks or something?
LeBron is averaging a 31-9-9 this month.
See, that's...
49% shooting, 40% from three. Two steals, 1.6 blocks.
This is the thing. You know, at the beginning of the year... If anybody's got the ability to threaten averaging out a triple-double, it's that man. He is doing it.
Let me just keep you for one more second while I look up Dwayne Wade's splits.
Well, And I know I'm going to love them.
Dwayne Wade's splits. These guys, I think, are driving each other a la Bird Magic a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, game log. I wish our site was a little less complicated. I got to be honest. So Dwayne Wade in February, 31-5-9 assists.
Yeah.
50% shooting.
All right, that's just astounding.
2.8 turnovers, maybe the most astounding number of all, considering that he handles the ball pretty much entirely.
That's right.
Next month, March, only 8 games, 36.4 points, 9.5 assists, 6.4 rebounds, 53.5% shooting, 42% from 3, 3.3 steals, and 1.1 blocks.
It's unbelievable.
Certainly one of the greatest fantasy months that we've seen.
You've been the beneficiary.
Yeah, I'm going to win both of my leagues because of him. Yep. Anyway. All right, Joe House.
Hey.
It'll be you, me, and Ken Bone in round one, baby.
That was fun, and as long as we beat Obama,
yeah,
I'm going to be a happy guy.
Yep. Secret Service will be at our house this weekend as we thrash this bracket. Thanks, and we will talk to you soon.
I can't wait.
All right, bye.
See you.
Target to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
And that concludes another episode of the BS Report. And here's 55 more words that Bill Simmons intended to mention, but unfortunately ran out of time. Now you can get any regular piled-high Subway footlong for just $5. The keyword is any. The sweet onion chicken teriyaki, savory chicken and bacon ranch, the meaty taste bud pleasing Italian BMT. All the regular famous Subway footlongs, just $5. Subway, eat fresh. See store for details.